The health department reveals 8 of the Philippines' new Delta COVID-19 variant cases were earlier tagged as recovered. Bota City brings back stay-at-home orders for children as government plans to reimpose tighter restrictions due to the threat of the Delta strain. Health experts calling on government to improve its contact tracing efforts to prevent another possible coronavirus surge. We'll discuss that with Interior Undersecretary Jonathan Malaya later on in the program. And Food Panda defends its decision to suspend some of its riders in Davao City over what it calls a planned disruption of operations. We'll get the side of Labor Secretary Silvestre Bello III on this issue. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. We begin with this story. More details emerging about the latest Delta COVID-19 variant cases here in the Philippines. See, the health department now says of the 16 new cases, 8 remain active after initially being tagged as recovered. Our correspondent, Katrina Domingo, now joins us with details. Katrina, what else can you tell us?
Yes, Carmina, 8 Filipinos who have supposedly recovered from the highly contagious Delta variant of COVID-19 tested positive for the disease again after they underwent another round of RT-PCR retesting. Of the 8 active Delta variant cases, 4 are in Cagayan de Oro, 1 is in Manila, another 1 is in Misamis Oriental, while 2 others are Filipinos who arrived from abroad. DOH spokesperson Undersecretary Maria Rosario Vergere says, these 8 cases are all asymptomatic and they are now under monitoring until they finish another round of a 14-day quarantine. Vergere says all of these 8 cases have high CT values or cycle threshold values, which means that the viral load in their bodies are low. So it is most likely, according to Vergere, that they are not that contagious. The DOH is still studying why these 8 cases yielded positive results after a prior RT-PCR test showed they already recovered from COVID-19. Now, Carmina, the DOH did not say why they decided to retest Delta variant carriers, and they did not mention the time frame between the supposed recovery of these patients and when they were subjected to another RT-PCR test. The DOH initially said that of the 35 Filipinos who were infected with the Delta variant, 3 died while the rest have recovered from the disease. Just to give our viewers a context, the Delta variant caused the catastrophic spread of COVID-19 in India and is behind a spike of cases in Indonesia, which is now considered as the epicenter of the virus in Southeast Asia. Carmina.
Okay, Katrina, a couple of questions for you. They first tested negative, correct? And then
yes.
They tested positive. So then when they tested negative, they weren't under quarantine anymore.
Were they released from quarantine? Yes. Yes, Carmina, that's right. As soon as you test negative for the RT-PCR test, and as soon as you complete the 14-day quarantine, then you are allowed to go home already. So the assumption here right now, because of a lack of data from the DOH, is that these patients have already gone home to their communities. And then the DOH also did not give us a date on when they were retested. So we do not know exactly how long they already stayed in their communities or how long they have already interacted with other patients possibly spreading the Delta variant in their cities or in their towns, Carmina.
And what prompted them to have another go at the RT-PCR tests?
Also, no word from the DOH about that yet, Carmina. So still a lot of questions, a lot of speculation ongoing in the health sector. The DOH tells us that they will get back to us with another press conference so that they can further explain these specific incidents. The DOH says that they also still have to study why these 8 cases, again, yielded positive results after already being tagged as recovered from this virus. Carmina.
Okay, I just want to be clear on this, Kat. Let's go back to the chronology of testings, okay, for these 8 cases. So the first test administered to them, the results were what? Positive?
Yes. Let's take for example the case of the returning overseas Filipinos, because as soon as you land in Manila from overseas, you will be subjected to a quarantine and you will be tested on the 6th or 7th day. Now, once those tests yield a positive result, then you will be subjected to a 14-day quarantine. During that quarantine, samples will be taken from you and will be submitted to the Philippine Genome Center. Now, if your sample tests positive for a variant, let's say for a Delta variant, then you will again be subjected to, you have to complete your quarantine basically, and you have to recover from the disease, meaning you have to recover from all the symptoms, you have to be asymptomatic, and then you will be tested again for an RT-PCR. You will be subjected again for an RT-PCR test. Now, you will only be tagged as a recovered patient if that second RT-PCR test yields a negative result. And that's what happened with the 32 Filipino Delta variant carriers, because 3 have already died. So the 32 were presumed to have recovered from the disease already. But the interesting thing now is that they were subjected to retesting, and now there are again 8 active cases of Delta variant in the Philippines.
Okay, so just to recap what our correspondent Katrina Domingo there said, the first test yielded positive results for these 8 active Delta variant cases, which the DOH previously tagged as recovered. So they first tested positive. They were still in quarantine. For the second RT-PCR, they tested negative. And then they were released already from quarantine. But a third testing revealed that they actually tested positive once again. So the question now is, why did you have to have, what prompted the DOH to have that third go for the RT-PCR test for these 8 Delta variant cases? Katrina Domingo, they are saying that no answers yet, Kat, from the DOH. And when are we expected to get those answers from them?
Fortunately, Carmina, we have a Viber group with the DOH, and definitely reporters will be asking what prompted them to retest this Delta variant carriers, because previously we haven't heard of any such thing as retesting a recovered patient already, because usually once they are tagged as recovered already, then the government presumes that they have already, again, recovered from the disease, that they are no longer carriers of the virus. So this
and
is
do we know, sorry to cut you there, Kat, and do we know if this is the only batch of tests that they retested for a third time?
No, Carmina, no confirmation about that yet. We still have to verify that with the DOH again.
Okay, we're going to let you go now, Kat. For sure, you're going to get more details on this developing story. In the meantime, I'd like to thank you for joining us. Our correspondent, Katrina Domingo, there giving us her breaking news this afternoon. DOH now saying that eight of the new Delta variant cases previously tagged as recovered are now active cases. Kat, thanks again for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it. Moving on with the rest of the news today, Metro Manila mayors want children banned from the outdoors once again due to the threat posed by the Delta variant. It's one of the suggestions by health experts to prevent the further spread of the highly transmissible strain. It has only been a week since the interagency task force allowed children aged 5 to 17 years old to visit parks and open spaces.
Nagbutuhan po kami kanina. No, kami po mga alkalde, mga mayors, nag-usap-usap po kami at hinihiling po sana namin sa IAPF maaari na yung polisiya tungkol sa 5-year-old pataas ay baka pwedeng isuspende muna sa Metro Manila. No? Dahil nga po meron kami kaso rito at medyo tumaas po ang kaso rito. Sa dahilan po na ang 5 to 17 ay hindi pakunado at sila po ay possibly maging super spreaders.
Aside from restoring restrictions on minors, President Rodrigo Duterte says the country may have to revert to stricter quarantine measures.
We may need to reimpose stricter restrictions to avoid mass gathering and prevent super spreader events. I urge the DILG and the PNP to implement existing protocols with greater urgency and necessity. It is only by imposing these restrictions that we can fight the threat of Delta variant.
the city of Navotas not taking any chances as it reimposed the ban on children outdoors. Mayor Toby Tianco says this is to ensure the Delta COVID-19 variant will not spread in his city.
Dahil po sa local transmission ng Delta variant dito sa ating bansa, minabuti po natin na dito po sa Navotas, huwag muna pong ituloy yung pagpayag doon sa 5 years old to 17 years old na pumunta sa mga parks. Alam naman po natin na yung mga batang edad 15 to 17, hindi pa po sila bakunado. So ako po ay nakikiusap sa ating mga kababayan ng kooperasyon at konting sakripisyo para po hindi po kumalat itong napakadelikadong Delta variant.
Government also studying the reimposition of the so-called NCR plus bubble to keep the Delta variant out. The bubble enforces stricter border controls for areas outside of Metro Manila and nearby provinces.
As much as possible, ayaw na ho natin mag-lockdown ng isang malaking lokal na gobyerno kasi nga makaka-apekto to sa ekonomiya ng lokal na gobyerno na yan. So again, paigtingin po natin ang ma-lockdowns on a granular level, mga barabarangay, mga kanto-kanto, mga building-building. At may higpitan po tayo, pero itong paghihigpit natin is more on a preventive measure.
Experts are saying the Philippines needs to step up its contact tracing efforts if the country is to stave off an avalanche of Delta variant cases. Is government up to the task? Joining us now is Interior and Local Government Undersecretary Jonathan Malaya Yusek. Good afternoon to you. Nice to see you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Carmina, and thank you for having me.
All right. You heard the precedent. We may resort to stricter border controls once again. What is the DILG going to do about this? I understand that there is a memorandum that's being crafted as we speak, or have you released it already?
Well, we're taking the cue from the president, but at the end of the day, the president and the IATF would have to make that decision on what stricter measures have to be implemented in Metro Manila and the rest of the country to stave off the Delta variant. There are many proposals on the table, which includes the proposals of the MMDA and the Metro Manila mayors to first stop the implementation of the more liberalized quarantine, allowing kids to go out. So all of these are on the table right now. You know, Carmina, there's really no Bible or rule book insofar as COVID-19 is concerned. So again, we are allowing science to dictate on us here. We are consulting our vaccine experts and our health experts on what course to take in the next few days. And I would expect the IATF to strongly consider the recommendations of our NCR mayors on what future steps to take.
Yeah, but this doesn't prevent the mayors to do what they think is right for the city. Take, for an example, Mayor Toby Tianco and what he did. He's outrightly banned children to go outdoors once again because of the threat of the Delta strain, Undersecretary.
Yes, that's correct. But the approach of the mayors has always been to have a consensus among themselves. No? Mm. They don't usually take actions outside of the others. No? What Mayor Toby Tianco did is, of course, within the ambit of his jurisdiction, but normally the mayors would talk about it and make a unified stand and implement measures across boundaries. For example, when they set the curfew hours, they always talk among themselves and make recommendations so that people know what the policies are and that these policies cut across Metro Manila and does not simply is implemented in one local government unit.
But as you observe what is happening, what is going to be the recommendation of the DILG?
That's a difficult question to answer because we are part of the IATF and we wouldn't want to speak ahead of the IATF. As I said, these matters are now in the hands of the IATF. The recommendations of the mayors have been given to the IATF, but we are prepared. You know, the DILG is a enforcement agency, No, we enforce the regulations and resolutions passed by the IATF, and we're prepared. If the IATF says that, you know, we need to have a stricter enforcement of protocols, then we shall do so. And if the IATF tells us that, you know, let's delay the implementation of the rule on the kids, then we will also implement it vigorously.
But what else could you possibly do at this point, more than a year into this pandemic and with the threat of the Delta variant? What else could you possibly do that's going to be different from what you've done the past year and a half, Undersecretary?
Well, we are looking at continuing what we've been doing insofar as stricter border controls. No, and we have been assessing the entry of foreign nationals and, well, sorry, of returning Filipinos to the country, so that we do not have additional individuals coming into the country with the Delta variant. No, again, the long-term solution, of course, to this pandemic is the ramped-up vaccination. No, and the past few days have been have seen some good news in this in this end, because we have received almost daily additional shipments of COVID vaccines from various sources, from a portfolio of sources. Sinovac, J&J from the COVAX, Moderna has finally arrived, and even the orders of local government units with relation to their orders of AstraZeneca vaccines. So really the challenge now is to ramp up vaccination, because vaccination is going to be a big help in staving off the spread of the Delta variant.
But why focus on just vaccination, Undersecretary? When you take the case of Seychelles, for example, or the Maldives, Thailand, even Indonesia, where they have been, you know, hitting their vaccination numbers, and yet these areas are also experiencing COVID-19 surges, primarily due to the Delta variant. And they're saying, you know, contact tracing really is and should be the pillar in the fight against this pandemic, Undersecretary.
Yeah, our contact tracing program is very strong. In fact, in the NCR Plus area, we have 26,234 contact tracers deployed. And our contact tracing effort is at 94% of probable cases are traced daily, and 91% are isolated within the 24-hour period by our contact tracing teams. Nationwide, our contact tracing number is 255,854. And that is composed of 29,611 contact tracing teams. So insofar as individuals or resources are concerned, we have a very strong contact tracing program right now.
What's the ratio? The ideal ratio is 1:6, right?
The ratio right now of contact tracer as to trace individual is 1:10.
Okay. And your turnaround time in getting it? Because it's not just about the ratio, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about the turnaround time, getting those details in and giving them to the the proper agency. Go ahead.
That's correct. That's why, as I said, 94% of probable cases are traced immediately within the day, and 91% are isolated within 24 hours by our contact tracing teams. And this is the national average, no? And in Metro Manila, as I mentioned a while ago, we have a composite contact tracing effort with all government agencies deploying contact tracers. Mm-hmm. The DILG in Metro Manila has deployed 2,381 contact tracers since February. And we have help from the Philippine National Police and from the Bureau of Fire Protection. And we're also very thankful to the Department of Labor and Employment, because under the TUPAD program, they also deployed some 5,775 contact tracers. So we have the individuals, we have the people, and they are doing their jobs. And we are prepared if ever there is a worst-case scenario in so far as the Delta variant is concerned.
How will the Delta variant's entry and possible spread impact on your contact tracing efforts?
Well, you know, Carmina, experts all over the world have always said that contact tracing is effective only if the numbers are low. Because once the numbers become so high, no amount of contact tracing program will allow you to trace the number that you want, no? Because when we have an exponential, increase in the number of individuals infected, it becomes so hard for our contact tracers to be increased also exponentially, no? We have reached already the limit of how much we can hire. No, we have been spending a lot already for these contact tracers. So really the secret here is while the numbers are low, contact tracing must be improved. And we agree. That is why I wish to assure our countrymen that we consider contact tracing as an important aspect of the COVID response, and we continue to pour resources and training to this contact tracing effort. And we have worked not only with the local government units, but have worked with so many agencies to ensure that this program is not belittled or is given the necessary attention that it deserves.
Yeah, let me just go back to a point that you made earlier, that contact tracing is only effective when the numbers are low. And this is why we're seeing the collapse in some of the areas that I just mentioned a while ago, some of the countries. When it exploded, there was nothing that they could do. There was no catching up. No amount of catching up was good enough.
Yes, I don't know what they did. No, I'm not an expert on what Indonesia's situation is or India for that matter. I don't know how many contact tracers they have hired. But we have, from the very beginning, emphasized the importance of contact tracing. And we have such a large number of contact tracers. And these contact tracers are even up to the level of the barangays, to the barangay health emergency response teams. Carmina, during the surge last March, we were overwhelmed, no? We were overwhelmed by the number of individuals that were infected, but the contact tracing program did not stop. It continued to perform, and it contributed to the solutions, no, that we implemented, which led to the end of the surge in March.
Okay. And then there are cases like the 8 cases that the DOH mentioned today. These cases were previously tagged as recovered, only to say a few days later that they're in fact active cases. What can you tell us about the contact tracing efforts that are going into these 8 active Delta COVID-19 cases, Undersecretary?
Yeah, we have been talking about the Delta variant for the past 2 months. No, since the India catastrophe happened, we knew that this was going to be a serious problem. So our local government units have been warned of this. No, because, Carmina, when we talk about contact tracing, that is essentially a local effort. Contact tracing cannot be done nationally. No, just because the DILG is the one that provides the resources for contact tracing doesn't mean that we control contact tracing. We cannot centralize contact tracing because contact tracing is a local effort. So when we talk about this program, it's led by the local government unit through the city health office and through the city epidemiology unit. And they are the ones that receive the DILG contact tracers. They are the ones that receive the ones from the PNP, and they deploy it. So the success of a contact tracing program in a specific locality really depends upon the ability of the local government unit to properly utilize their resources and their individuals.
Yeah, so, but you can't just let them be and say that's how it is, right? Because this happened and because of the threat of the Delta variant, isn't it of utmost concern to the DILG that it won't replicate itself in other cities?
Yes, that's why since two months or 3 months ago, we have been meeting with the mayors regularly. We have been discussing with them, and we have been providing whatever resources they need so that their contact tracing effort will not be hampered. Mm-hmm. The contact tracers, for example, from the DOLE have been extended for the next 2 months. The ones from the DILG, whose contracts will expire this August, we have already requested from the Office of the President an additional funding for their salaries for 5 months, meaning we are planning ahead. Meaning even if we don't have a surge, we should have the existing contact tracers now on payroll until December, so that, you know, we don't find ourselves in a situation that we don't have the numbers, so we don't need the contact tracers. No.
Correct.
The LGUs know what they're doing. While there are no cases, they assign their contact tracers to vaccination. They find, you know, some job for them to do while waiting for a possible surge. So we are not sleeping. We have prepared already a contingency just to ensure that we have this number, that the number we have right now, continue to serve our contact tracing program until the end of the year.
Yeah, you know, until the end of the year, and then what happens next? Because I was talking to Professor Ranjit Rai of the Octo Research Group yesterday, and he did say the funding will lapse this year. And that causes, you know, some concern. So if the funding is only until December, what's going to happen after that? We're so far away from, you know, getting ahead of this pandemic. And now it has devastated countries all over the world, including the Philippines, Undersecretary.
Yeah. Carmina, the way government works is we are authorized to spend only based on the budget that is given to us. So, for example,
I completely understand that. But as you said a while ago, you're thinking ahead. So are you just thinking until December? What's the game plan for 2022?
Yes. The president will submit its proposed budget for next year before or after the SONA. And we have already proposed to the Department of Budget and Management the funding for the retention of all of these contact tracers for next year. So we appeal to Congress to provide the department, DILG, the necessary funds for us to be able to rehire these contact tracers next year. So we will be defending this budget proposal in Congress, and I hope that Congress will grant us our request.
Okay. I just want to go back to the 8 cases now, Undersecretary, because it's causing a lot of, you know, concern among the public. The first, when they were first administered the first RT-PCR test, the results were positive. They were still under quarantine. The second test turned out to be negative, so they were released from quarantine. And then there was a third test that was administered. The results turned out positive. Doesn't this concern the DILG? Because it will directly impact contact tracing efforts there if they have been released and to the public prior to the third test that yielded positive results. What concerns you most about this, Undersecretary?
Yeah. Honestly, I only heard about this now in your program. We have not heard about this because the policy have always been once a person tests negative for COVID-19, RT-PCR test, the gold standard. So then that person is considered no longer a threat to public safety and public health. So we will have to discuss this with the Department of Health. We have not yet received a report about this matter, and we will make adjustments. No, again, I'm not privy to the 8 cases that were just announced by the Department of Health. Again, this is something that is a health matter, which is really within the jurisdiction of the DOH.
Yeah. Although that is so, it still will have an impact on contact tracing efforts, because we really found it curious, hindi ba, Undersecretary, naka-second negative ka na eh. Why did you have to call them in back again for a third RT-PCR test that turned out to be positive?
Yeah. And so far as contact tracing is concerned, if they indeed have tested positive again for COVID-19, then the protocols will kick in. The LGUs know. For example, Mayor Isko, the mayor of Taguig, the mayor of Navotas, all of those areas that have the Delta variant have been alerted, and they have mobilized their contact tracing, their contact tracers within their respective areas, for us to be able to find out the close contacts and also administer an RT-PCR test for them.
Mm-mm. Dun ho kasi kinakabahan yung mga tao eh. That, you know, it sort of erodes your confidence in the system, knowing that there was a third RT-PCR test that had to be administered, and those turned out to be positive. So I guess the concern of people now is, how sure are we that, as you said, the process will kick in, and if ever they had infected other people, that these people will be promptly brought to an isolation facility. So
Yeah, Carmina, we can assure the public that we are taking this very seriously. Our mayors, again, have met repeatedly about this issue with the IATF and with the Department of Health, and they know what areas have possible local transmission. The contact tracing teams have been alerted and are doing their work as we speak. And just to be proactive, our 83 isolation centers in Metro Manila have already been activated. Our hotels under Oplan Kalinga have also been activated. And the Department of Health has prepared the hospitals, no, just in case there are increased cases from the Delta variant. So again, you know, we can continue to live in fear, but maybe we can start living with this virus, because we cannot stop our lives for the next year and live in fear. As I said, live in fear. So again, our appeal to the public is, since we don't know exactly what's happening outside, to use the mask. Because even if you are in contact with a person with the Delta variant, if you are utilizing your mask, you are utilizing your face shield, and you are exercising social distancing and physical distancing, you will not be infected by COVID.
Mm. And of course, that should be coupled with the ramping up of vaccination, as you said, as well. We're going to have to leave it at that. Undersecretary Jonathan Malaya of the DILG, always a pleasure talking to you. Nice to see you again. Continue to keep safe. Take care.
Thank you for having me. Buhay.
Salamat po. Moving on, Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. says the Philippines has enough COVID-19 vaccines to last until mid-August. He says the country has already reached its desired stockpile level of over 10 million doses for July, with 2 million more shots set to arrive later this month.
Because of the Delta, we are redeploying our vaccines to the Delta variant area of concerns in Region 10, in NCR, in Region 6, at saka po yung mga ECQ at MECQ areas. Very fair po ang ginagawa po natin sa distribution. It is based on the targeted population, and also it is based yung sa mga priority targets po natin ng mga sector.
I'm going to take a break now. Up ahead, another Australian state goes into lockdown due to the Delta COVID-19 variant. We'll be right back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. We are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The health department reveals 8 of the Philippines' new Delta COVID-19 variant cases were earlier tagged as recovered. Navota City brings back stay-at-home orders for children as government plans to reimpose tighter restrictions due to the threat of the Delta strain. Health experts calling on government to improve its contact tracing efforts to prevent another possible coronavirus surge. And Food Panda defends its decision to suspend some of its riders in Davao City over what it calls a planned disruption of operations. Back with more news, and we have this just in. One of 12 crew members of a ship from Indonesia who tested positive for COVID-19 slipped out of the vessel when it docked in Butuan City. Our correspondent Jackie Manabat is on the line now to tell us more about this story. Jackie, go ahead.
Amina, the vessels from Indonesia with COVID positive members arrived at Albay past 7 a.m. today, July 20th. But the local government unit did not allow them to dock. The vessels are anchored over 1,000 kilometers at Lidong Port, Santo Domingo, Albay. Philippine Coast Guard assures that local maritime security is preventing fishing boats and other vessels from getting near the unit. The vessels, a tugboat and a barge, docked in Indonesia before they proceeded to Butuan City on July 14. This is where 12 out of the 20 crew members tested positive for COVID-19. According to the Department of Health, one of the 12 disembarked at Butuan and went home without waiting for the test results. DOH said that they received reports that this crew member alighted a vessel without the captain's knowledge and even took a public transport. According to a press conference of the Department of Health, the regional office have traced the location of the crew member. Those who were in close contact with him are also identified. The remaining 11 are still on board the vessels and subjected to close monitoring of the Philippine Coast Guard and DOH medical staff. They will be isolated for 2 weeks and will undergo a swab test on their seventh day. The test samples will be forwarded to the Philippine Genome Center for genome sequencing for the Delta variant. The crew members are asymptomatic as of this time, and that's according to the DOH. The Department of Transportation instructed the Philippine Coast Guard to monitor all Philippine borders, particularly the southern backdoor, particularly Indonesia and Malaysia. And the agency added that added personnel and assets in partnership with AFP and PNP. They are also seeking the public's help to report any vessels who could have violated border protocols, especially those coming from Indonesia. Indonesia recorded a surge in COVID-19 cases recently, surpassing India and Brazil. In May 2021, a Filipino crew member of MV Athens died after contracting the Delta coronavirus variant. The vessel docked in India, where the Delta variant was first detected. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Jackie Manabat there joining us on the line. Take care, Jackie. Keep safe. Moving on, South Australia enters a seven-day lockdown after five active COVID-19 cases tested positive for the Delta variant. Another state, Victoria, also extended its lockdown for another 7 days. That's as authorities reported 13 new locally acquired cases on Tuesday, bringing the state's total number of infections linked to the current outbreak to 80. Britain's Prime Minister Boris Johnson plans to make vaccine passports a requirement at nightclubs and other venues where large crowds may gather. That's after people in London flocked to clubs at midnight after England lifted most of its COVID-19 restrictions. Take a look.
It's been dubbed Freedom Day, and clubbers in London were ready to party at 1 minute past midnight when most COVID restrictions were lifted in England on Monday. This was one of the first rule-free live music events since the pandemic began last year. Britain, which has one of the world's highest death tolls from COVID, is facing a new wave of cases. But it hasn't stopped Prime Minister Boris Johnson from lifting most restrictions in England. Epidemiologists are generally sceptical that it is the right thing to do, but many young British people have had enough of more than 1.5 years of lockdowns.
I want to dance. I want to hear live music. I want the vibe of being at a gig, being around people.
I know that the rate is going up, but people say that it's not a big deal because it's young people that are getting infected and it wouldn't be a serious thing. They were not going to die from it, so it feels okay for us to do it in a way.
It's nice to be out, but like at the end of the day, it's all going to result in some sort of impending doom with everybody out and mingling and not really knowing what they're doing. Because I also feel like everybody who's the vaccine thinks they're invincible.
After rushing to vaccinate its population faster than almost all other European countries, Johnson's government is betting that England can reopen as fully vaccinated people are less likely to get seriously ill with the virus. British society appears split on the restrictions. Some want tough rules to continue as they fear the virus will keep killing people. The promoters of the event say they lost money because fewer people than expected turned up. For the artists, they say the lockdown has been tough. James Cox is lead singer of the band Crows. He says at first it felt strange to be back on stage.
Before this gig, I had a bit of apprehension that I wasn't going to like it again because it's been so long. I'm like, maybe I have grown up and maybe I'm actually not going to like performing that much anymore. And as soon as we stood on the stage and started soundchecking, I was like, oh yeah, I do like this. It's like, I do love this. This is my passion. It's like, that's why I've been doing it for so many years, because it is a passion.
Meanwhile, the U.S. warns American citizens against traveling to the United Kingdom due to the rising number of COVID-19 cases there. Both the U.S. State Department and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued their highest travel alert over the U.K. The U.S. CDC says a person must be fully vaccinated if they travel to Britain, or if travel to Britain cannot be avoided. In other news, the power struggle continues in Haiti following the assassination of its president, Jovenel Moïse. The nation's interim prime minister is stepping down to give way to the appointee of the late president. This report.
Haiti's acting prime minister agreed to step down in the wake of the assassination of the country's president. In an interview with the Washington Post published on Monday, Claude Joseph said he would hand over power to Ariel Henry, a 71-year-old neurosurgeon. The late President Jovenel Moïse named Henry to the post of prime minister, but he had yet to be sworn in when gunmen stormed Moïse's home and killed him on July 7th. The announcement appears to end a power struggle in the Caribbean nation between Joseph and Henry. Joseph told the Washington Post that he and Henri had met privately over the past week. He added that he agreed to step down on Sunday, quote, for the good of the nation, and is willing to transfer power, quote, as quickly as possible. Moïse's assassination has pitched the already troubled nation into chaos. The murder comes amid a surge in gang violence that has displaced thousands of people and hampered economic activity in the poorest country in the Americas.
En reunión con Joseph Félix Badiou.
A Colombian police chief said on Friday the assassination may have been ordered by a former Haitian Justice Ministry official. He cited a preliminary investigation that has implicated Haitian Americans and former Colombian soldiers. Martine Moïse, the assassinated president's widow, returned to Haiti on Saturday for his funeral after she was treated in a Miami hospital for injuries sustained during the attack.
President Duterte claims Chinese ships do leave Philippine waters when told. That's despite assertions from Filipino fishermen of continued harassment from the Chinese Coast Guard. Duterte's statement comes after his spokesman, Harry Roque, said the Philippine Coast Guard was able to drive away a Chinese Navy warship sailing near El Nido in Palawan.
Previously, we had about 2 or 3 incidents which we drove away the Chinese vessel. Gusto ko lang basahin ang utak ng mga taon. Bakit madali silang mapaalis? Are they avoiding any confrontation? Or parang goodwill? Or there's something afoot. We really do not know. Kasi madali mapaalis ngayon eh.
Mr. President, ang suspect ako po ay kaya sila umalis dahil napakalapit na nila sa Palawan eh. And that is already not contested sa atin yun eh.
Siguro kasama na rin po dyan yung mabuting relasyon natin ngayon sa China na ayaw rin nilang madistorbo, no?
President Duterte threatens to sue former Foreign Affairs Secretary Albert Del Rosario. Duterte accused Del Rosario of treason and even questioned his nationality. Del Rosario recently claimed senior Chinese officials may have influenced the 2016 Philippine elections to help Duterte win. The former top diplomat had cited a, quote, most reliable international entity.
Ikaw, Alberto, pag nasilip ko lang meron ka, I will charge you for sa marami akong ididemanda sa iyo. Dal ka ng dal-dal dyan. Anong China magtulong sa akin? Saan mo nakuha yan? 16 million makuha mo ng tulong sa ibang bayan? I want to see you personally. Where can I meet you? Saan ka ba nagkakape-kape? Ibuhos ko yung kape sa mukha mo. Maniwala ka.
The visiting forces agreement between the Philippines and the U.S. could be extended for a fourth time. That information coming from President Duterte himself, who says he wants to talk to U.S. officials about it first.
Itong visiting forces agreement, ang extension niyan is on deck, on the table. I just want to talk to some people in Washington, be it from the office of the president or the State Department or the Defense Department.
Signed in 1999, the VFA provides the legal framework under which U.S. troops can operate on a rotational basis in the Philippines. President Duterte in February 2020 unilaterally terminated the deal after his longtime ally, Senator Ronald Bato de la Rosa, was denied a U.S. visa. But the administration has repeatedly suspended its abrogation. In business, Philippine economic managers sticking to their 6-7% growth target for 2021, despite the arrival of the COVID-19 variant, Delta variant rather, in the country. The Development Budget Coordination Committee, or DBCC, says it reaffirmed this year's goal as the economy gradually reopened. It adds the intensified implementation of the Detect, Isolate, Treat, and Recover strategy, along with a vaccination program, should help prevent community transmissions of the Delta variant while helping build consumer and business confidence. The DBCC sees the economy returning to pre-pandemic levels as early as 2022. If the Philippines manages to keep the health crisis under control, the local economy suffered its worst contraction on record last year, shrinking 9.6% as government imposed one of the longest lockdowns in the world. Food Panda stands by its decision to suspend around 100 riders in Davao City. That's after it learned about their planned protest against the company's new wage policy. The food delivery app explains the suspended riders violated their agreement with the company by calling for what it describes as disruptions that may affect overall operations amid the pandemic. It adds it has onboarded several new riders to ensure the continuity of service to its customers. Food Panda riders claim their earnings plummeted from an average of 55 pesos per delivery to just nearly half of that since the COVID crisis began. In sports, a survey shows most Japanese do not believe the country can host a safe and secure Olympics amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The study was released just days ahead of the opening of the Games. This report.
With only days to go before the Olympics begin in Tokyo, a new poll shows Japan remains divided on whether the Games should go ahead. On Monday, the Asahi Shimbun newspaper published a survey of more than 1,400 people and found two-thirds do not believe Japan can host a safe and secure Olympics. The same number also do not believe organizers can bring the virus under control, despite current precautions. More than three-quarters of Asahi's respondents agreed with the ban on spectators at the Games. Local media reported that given lackluster public support, Tokyo 2020 sponsor Toyota said it would not be running TV commercials related to the Games. The Yomiuri newspaper also reported that Tokyo CEO Akio Toyoda would not attend the opening ceremony on Friday. Toyoda did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Japan is currently dealing with another fresh wave of infections, cases on the rise, and the capital Tokyo under a fourth state of emergency. Public concern has grown that hosting an event, which would attract tens of thousands of foreigners, could only speed up the spread of infections or introduce variants that are more contagious or deadlier. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach hopes, however, that the Japanese public will warm to the Games once competition begins and, as he says, when the Japanese athletes begin winning medals. Cases have already been reported out of the athletes' village in Tokyo, where 11,000 athletes are expected to live together. So far this month, there have been 58 cases among athletes, officials, and journalists, all there for the Games.
The Filipino athletes making their presence felt at the Olympic Village in Tokyo. They hung the country's flags and banners ahead of the formal opening of the Games. Weightlifter Heidelin Diaz shared a photo of the Olympic Village, as well as a photo of herself and gymnast Carlos Yulo. Several members of the Philippine delegation are already at the village, with swimmers Luke Gebbie and Remedy Rule among the latest to arrive Monday. Team Philippines begins its campaign on July 23, with rower Chris Nevarez competing in the men's singles cults. And before we go, American billionaire Jeff Bezos gears up for his flight to the great beyond on board his Blue Origin spacecraft. The 11-minute trip will be the world's first unpiloted space flight with an all-civilian crew. Joining Bezos for the ride are his brother Mark, as well as the oldest and youngest persons to ever go to space, 82-year-old trailblazing aviator Wally Funk, and 18-year-old physics student Oliver Damon.
I am excited but not anxious. We'll see how I feel, you know, when I'm strapped into my seat. This is right. A tourism mission, and it's very important because it lets us practice, and it will let more people get up into space. And that practice is what will allow us to build the infrastructure to let the next generations of people really do amazing things in space.
That'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to visit today's episode, the Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it to you on ANC.